This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Cox. I am so glad to be working with two of the craziest and most talented people in the radio business. Well, these two plus Sue, obviously. We got the whole crew here, but Carl and Kim, I'm so glad to see you guys.
Hi. Good morning, Heidi.
I have to turn on a light. I know.
Wow,
Kim,
I feel
likes
like I'm so
dark.
Excited. And you're like, morning, Heidi.
I like it like wow. A cave in here.
I see that. Pretty dark in there. How you feeling there, Miss Kim, incubating away as you
yeah,
are?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. You know, baby is causing some nausea, but that's okay. We're making it through.
Okay, that's exciting. Well, I'm very happy for you. Very good
Thank
news.
You.
Boy, these crazy storms, huh? My gosh.
You do not even know what these storms did.
I've read about it, but obviously I don't live there. So it's insane what's happening. How terrifying is it when these things are coming? I mean, how do you even know? Can they predict with any kind of, I don't know, accuracy as to how close it will come to your house or anything? The tornadoes?
No.
They
give you a neighborhood.
Well, but it's interesting with the technology. They're able to give you a rough time estimate. So you'll see the funnel. They'll say, this is where we see a, you know, funnel that is formed. And then they'll draw an arrow and it will say basically 7 minutes until Maryland Heights. Okay. If you live in Creve Coeur, you have about 11 minutes. You need to be in your shelter now. And so that is helpful, but obviously we know with tornadoes, and I've covered so many of them having worked in TV, where I've seen an EF5, like in Joplin, where it will level a home and then the next street over, quite literally, the homes aren't even touched. It's really, really odd when you have a home destroyed, but then the flower pot that's sitting on the front porch is unscathed.
Yeah. How terrifying. And for people to have to try to get into their basements if they can afford a basement. Everybody can't have a house with a basement.
Right. I think a lot of people have them here, but certainly there are those like slab homes that you're talking about where you just go, I guess, to a closet.
Or a bathtub.
The middle of the house.
Like that.
Yep, away from windows.
Right. How terrifying. I saw some stories today about people who were, you know, just really giving it to God as far as their survival. One particular person owned a gym, and she was talking about how it's all about, you know, God basically protecting her, and I mean, you know, she has her gym and she's bummed about that, but I love the fact that these people are doing. There's another guy who was thrown, I'm sure you guys read this, 60 feet from his house. Can you imagine? 60 feet from his house, he survived it and basically said, God kept me alive.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a young lady who talked about losing her her gym. It's called the Dungeon Gym. She said, my God is bigger than every one of my problems.
Yeah, that's a cool reaction because, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's easy to feel really devastated, you know, when you've lost your business or your home. And I know a lot of business. Purina Farms, Carl, I don't think we talked about that yesterday.
They had a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big mess.
Yeah.
You know, and something interesting, too, when these kind of things happen, and this has happened, obviously, in California and things like that with the fires. And, you know, anytime there's hurricane damage or tornado damage, you know, Florida, we don't need, you know, we all know the story there and things like that. But there are always scammers out there. Big time scammers.
Yes.
And Fox 2 was talking today about that. And they were saying that, you know, to really watch and be sure that somebody doesn't scam you. Because the first thing that, obviously, when you have everything destroyed, the first thing you want is to be sure that, you know, you get yours done first kind of thing, or at least you're top of the list of somebody mm-hmm. to fix things. And if they come knocking on your door it's easy to say, oh, okay, well, then we'll, you know, then yeah, that's the person we go with. And that's very scary. And it's very easy, especially if they ask for money ahead of time.
Right.
Up front.
Well, and you're already vulnerable and you're, like you said, you just want the work done. And so people are more willing to do things they probably would normally think are sketchy and their alarm bells would be going off. But in this particular instance, you're just so tired and you're maybe emotional from what you've gone through. You're a little bit traumatized.
I need a roof.
Yeah. And so it is so sad. Like, you know, you have the looters who will come by after a tornado when homes have been opened up and you can see all the things inside. And it's sad that police officers, instead of being able to do other things that are really important, they have to stand at the front of a neighborhood sometimes and just watch to make sure that looters aren't coming by and trying to steal things out of people's homes after they've already had them destroyed by a storm like this.
I think in the hierarchy of low lives, and I'm cleaning that up for the air, looters are you know, pretty low on the totem pole of low lives. Who would come in there and take advantage of somebody who's lost almost everything. And that happens. And every time there's a natural disaster, there are low lives who come in. While the heroes are trying to save people, these people are taking advantage. And it's just terrible. And then that's why a lot of people don't want to leave, because they're worried about looters. And that's why there's more damage to the people who stay behind, because they're trying to protect their property. It's not that they're putting their property ahead of their life. It's that they want to protect it and make sure that the people don't steal from them.
Yep.
Well, or go through and destroy it, whatever's left. You
look at the wildfires in California, where people had lived there for 40, 50 years. This was the home that had been passed down, you know, generations in their family, and they were told to evacuate and they refused to leave, and then they lost their life. Now, obviously, that's not worth it in my mind, but I can empathize with how hard that would be to leave. Ultimately, you should, but I can understand why that would be so, so difficult to have to pack up, leave, knowing that your home will likely not be there when you return.
Yeah, it's a terrible thought. But I also, you know, especially with the fires where it's a little bit, you know, it's coming. You have to prepare and you have to get your car packed, and you can't wait until the fire department is knocking on your door to decide which pictures to take. This has to be decided, you know, a day or two or more ahead of time. My mom lives in California. She's had to pack the car three times and had not had to leave, but had to pack the car with all the essentials, and she's in bad health. So they had to bring her, you know, medical stuff. So it's quite a deal, but you have to be prepared for it. And a lot of people, they don't prepare for things. But I feel bad for the people where the fires in California broke out. They were at work. They couldn't even get home to get anything out of their house. You know, so that happens too to people. And so it's heartbreaking. I hate to see that happen. And are you guys done with this weather? I mean, is there going to be any more tornadoes?
70 today.
Yeah. Like what's close to 80, I thought. I don't know. It was weird. It was kind of nice on Saturday. I mean, it was a little dreary and kind of eerie in some cases, but overall it was like the one night was bad on Friday and then it was fine.
And then I went to Grant's Farm on Friday. And it was
in the day.
It was great outside. Yeah,
it was windy.
But then, yesterday it was 63, but it was so windy it felt like it was in the 50s.
Yeah.
So
it's been a weird spring. The weather's been weird, that's for sure. Well, I don't mind the cold. I don't like the wind.
No, I don't either. Well, it's because we're women and our hair. I do not like the wind.
You're wearing
a hat. You
feel
like you're being beaten up is what you feel like. It's just buffeting your face, and it's just annoying. So
yes.
Anyway, well, I'm glad to be here with you guys, and we got to call Carl out about something, but that's coming up after the national anthem.
Let's do the short list first.
Should we do a short list first? Then we'll do the national anthem.
Yes,
okay. Once again, I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Cox as he takes some days off enjoying the spring break. Okay, go.
The Mark Cox short list.
We are announcing and giving all of the Kennedy files. So people have been waiting for decades for this.
What do you think? You think there'll be any surprises involved in the Kennedy files? I mean, we all know it was a conspiracy. Did I leave anything out?
Yeah, it's going to be on the same page as the Epstein files.
Probably.
You say to those who claim you're using a 200-year-old law to circumvent due process?
An old law? Not as old as the Constitution. We still pay attention to that, don't we?
Oh, my God, I love Tom Homan. How about Tom Homan, right? Let's all do a big salute to Tom Homan. We love him. I think it's fantastic. I know you guys saw the video of them dumping these guys off. And the military in El Salvador waiting to greet them. It was fantastic.
My advice to that unnamed low-level French politician would be to remind them that it's only because of the United States of America that the French are not speaking German right now.
She's right about that. God bless Carolyn. I love her. They want their Statue of Liberty back. I'm sorry. I think that's hilarious. What have they done for us since then? Anything? Can anybody name one French thing they've done for us? Okay, I'm waiting. No, nothing. Guess not.
Sir, and when you signed the CR,
who are you with?
Sir, I'm
NBC. Oh, that's the same one. I don't want to talk to NBC anymore. I think you're so discredited.
You know, at least he talks to these people, but he's getting disgusted with them for asking ridiculous questions. We should be asking all of our politicians questions. Obviously, they're accountable to us, but some of the things they ask are they're just argumentative. They're not really looking for information. They really don't want that. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Cox. Oh, yeah, don't try and make it up to me now, Carl. I don't know if you heard this, Kim, but apparently, you created a promo mentioning the fact that I was going to be sitting in for Mark today. So what did I hear as I was preparing to go on the air this morning? I heard a promo promoting Ryan Recker.
Yeah. Do you want to know why?
And so I'd like to know why. I would like an explanation because my feelings were hurt. I love Ryan. He's a wonderful guy.
He'll be back
tomorrow.
Very
talented, sweet guy. Okay, great. And I'll be back on Thursday. I love him. But so, I was a little hurt, I'm not going to lie.
I apologize for that, but yesterday there were a lot of things going on. You know, and it's not to say that like we have issues here, but we had issues here. But, you know, it was all due to the storms, which are like human lives were lost. And so us complaining about what happened at the radio station is no big deal.
That's right.
But we didn't have news here for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
We have two satellites upstairs. I know this is a little inside baseball, but people, you know, were listening and they're like, "Hey, what happened to the news?" So
people are interested. They need to know this because they may not.
So we have two satellites upstairs. One is for news and one is for programming. One of them is knocked out currently, and so they're using one something that is not made for it to do. And I'm sure I'm saying this incorrectly, but that is how I understand it. And so we've been trying to fix stuff. But I can prove that I actually made it. Listen.
Kim St. Ange here, Heidi Harris in the big chair for Mark Cox for 2A Tuesday. At 7:35, a Chicago group's approach to decrease shootings. Join us from 5 to 9.
She did it.
Love it. She
and
did it.
Proof
she
right there.
Did it.
See, and no, but I didn't even get to produce it, so there's no Mark Cox.
No, but you're right about that. I mean, in the scheme of the universe, obviously, that doesn't matter. But there were lives lost, and the weather's been terrible, and it's been scary. And, you know, you guys have had your hands full with all that stuff, so I'm just ribbing you about the other stuff.
I appreciate it. Yesterday was a weird day, because...
Oh, yeah.
No one... Because all the stuff happened on the weekend, and then everyone comes into work on Monday... And everything's overturned. And it was St. Patrick's Day yesterday. And it was just everyone's wearing green. And we were pinching people that weren't.
Who, you pinched people?
I pinched Drew, yeah.
Well, you wind up in HR for that nowadays.
Oh, he liked it.
Okay.
Should we ask him if he feels the same way? Or
we'll see him later.
Yeah. No, but you're right. It's all about perspective.
He did. He did forget, though. There were a lot of people that forgot it was St. Patrick's Day yesterday.
Or just don't care to wear green.
You wore green.
I did, but, you know, Recker said that even though he knows it's St. Patrick's Day, he's still not going to wear green. And I get it. I can be like that, too. I'm like, I don't really care. If I have green, great. I don't go out of my way to, you know, I'm not going to go buy a green shirt, for example.
Yeah, I don't own anything green, I don't think. Not a good color for me.
I don't
think so. I really don't think so. There might be some green in something that I own, but in general, I'm not a green person.
I don't think I
agree with Kim.
Orange.
Those are hard colors for people. People do those color tests where they hold up different shades and they tell you which one looks best on your skin tone. I've not done one of those, but I do feel like it makes a difference.
Yeah, it does. You know, there are people who can wear white, for example. I'm not one of those, and my wedding day, but otherwise, some people, it depends on your skin tone, and it depends on a lot of things.
Yeah. Oh, someone,
well, it's,
Jeffrey wanted to know who sang the national anthem. It was a young Taylor Swift sang the anthem yesterday from 2006, the World Series.
When she was a country singer. God bless her. Yeah, she has been amazing because, you know, whether you like Taylor, and I'm not a Taylor hater or not, she's busted her butt to get where she is. I mean, mm-hmm. she was singing in every fire station from the time she was, what, 9, 10 years old?
She still sends Bo Matthews Christmas cards because he when he was doing country radio, she was like a fan of his.
Yeah, when I worked in Nashville, the reporter I worked with there, he was like the first reporter to ever cover her when she was a high schooler. And she was just doing little performances here and there. And so
Tim McGraw,
the day developed a connection just because, yeah, it's like one of the people who kind of believed in her. I'm sure she views it that way when she did. I mean, I don't love her music. I don't hate her music. I don't love it. But you can't argue that she hasn't busted her butt to get to where she is.
That's my whole point. I don't understand why people want to take that away from her when she's busted her butt to get there all these years. I mean, she's worked.
I don't like her politics, but, you know, I can appreciate that she's talented.
She's Ofer on all of her picks, by the way.
She's talented and she has worked hard. But yeah, I don't like her politics and I don't love all her music.
Who was she supposed to, real quickly before we go to break, who was she supposed to be on tour with and they wouldn't let her do it at the last minute because she wasn't 21 and then the guy gave her $100,000 and allowed her to buy a tour bus and everything? Do you remember that story?
No.
I don't.
I'm surprised you
don't, Carl. Yeah, I have to look this. It was
country music.
Person.
I didn't care.
See, I liked country Taylor. See, her music's gotten, her stuff is dark now. It's weird. Some of the stuff's weird.
I know. I'm trying to give you a great story. It's a very cool story.
We'll look it up.
Perhaps we will look that up and get back to you. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Cox.
Hello?
Can't we all just relate to that? Those annoying sales calls that usually would come during dinner time whenever we had the phones that were actually attached to the wall still. I remember growing up getting all those phone calls conveniently around 6 p.m. as my family and I would just sit down for dinner. And it's funny because the Key and Peele skit that we just played is so true. It's like they're on a clock and their goal is to get the deal closed. And so, you know, if you don't show interest, it's like, all right, next, I got to move on. Well, my husband and I are not dealing with that. But what we are dealing with is people coming door to door. So I don't know, gosh, maybe the fall or something like that. Into the winter, we had a bunch of people repeatedly digging up our front yard. Our front yard looks terrible because they put AT&T fiber into our neighborhood. And it's not like we voted on it. They just did it. They just showed up one day with all this machinery and started digging. And I'm sure this happens elsewhere. It's not like we're the only ones. Well, anyway, now that it's completed and our yard looks terrible, they are sending their salesmen to come to our house all the time. And I've been very transparent about what we have going on in our life right now. I've talked about how I've been incredibly sick from the pregnancy. I lost my mom unexpectedly about a month and a half ago, coming up on 2 months, which is wild to think about. And the last thing that I care about right now is AT&T fiber. And I'll tell you what, I have been so frustrated with these salesmen when they knock. It's a very aggressive knock and door ringing. And I have a young son who's trying to nap and they're, you know, trying to give me their little sales pitch. And I understand that you're doing your job. I don't fault them for that. What's very irritating is when I repeatedly tell them we're not interested. If we're interested, we'll give you guys a call. And I'm telling them all of these things. And I'm three different times, three different ways, I'm telling them we're not interested. And they just don't stop. Like on Friday, Heidi, my husband, Michael, was trying to frantically move everything around in the garage because we have a bunch of stuff in there that we've been working through as we're renovating some home. And so he was trying to get it pushed aside and organized so that we could get both cars in ahead of the storm. It's already windy out. And some AT&T salesman trying to sell us on fiber comes by. And he's like, hey, sir, do you have time to talk about AT&T fiber? And my husband's like, this is really not the time. Like, I'm trying to get all this done very quickly. And the guy's just not taking no for an answer. And he's like, could I put a brochure in your door? And my husband's like, you shouldn't do that. I would just continue walking. Because I asked them one time, I said, what is going on? You guys are knocking and ringing our doorbell multiple times a day. They're told if you don't answer to go every 2 hours.
No.
It's obnoxious. I called yesterday and I said, hey, is there some sort of like a list that we can get on to say, please stop knocking on our door? No, no, that doesn't exist. I told one of the salesmen to tell them to stop knocking on our door. Like, we don't want this anymore. We're not interested. He claimed he would. Of course he didn't, because more people showed up. Anyway, I know it's not just AT&T. I'm not trying to hate on AT&T. Again, I get it. They're doing their job. But at some point, when does it become harassment? When you've repeatedly said no and they're not stopping?
Yeah, that's crazy. And every 2 hours, there are people. You work a crazy shift. You're probably taking a nap during the day.
Well, and that's the other thing. They are. Yes, they're ringing the doorbell when I'm napping, which is very irritating because it's woken me up.
Right. And we, you know, on morning drive, the nap is essential. That's ridiculous that they come back every 2 hours. That's crazy land.
And it's not every day, but there have been days where we've had every 2 hours over like maybe a 6 hour stretch or something. We've had them come by our house.
Wow. That's nuts. I mean, I guess you could put a no solicitation sign. Maybe they wouldn't even heed that.
But see, I don't think, because I know homes that have that, and I really don't know if that works. Like, for anyone listening, if you have a no soliciting sign posted at your door, because I read that when I was seeing what can you do, just Googling options to handle this, that was one of the things, is put that sign up. But I just have to wonder how many people actually see that and think, you know what, I probably shouldn't knock on this door. Because I know as a reporter, I would still, when I had to go door to door to try to get interviews, I would still go up to that door.
Oh, really? You were one of those people. So
yeah.
You didn't let that sign bother you.
Maybe this is karma.
But I didn't go up to their house every 2 hours. And when they said no, I accepted it.
Wow.
Yeah, Will says, try a bucket of water, open the door and douse them. Well, that would probably get them to stop coming, or at least that particular salesman.
Get a very large, do you have a large dog?
No, but maybe we need one.
Something like that, or you know, some other. So do you have, or maybe a gate in front of your house of some kind, so they can't physically knock on the door? I don't know.
That's,
I mean,
what
they
need.
Can be. Well, we have, you know, the solar panel people drive us crazy out here where I live. They just come
trying to
drive
sell you
crazy
on them.
And then we had some solar panel guy a couple of years ago, young kid, about, you know, 18, 19 years old, walking door to door. And I, you know, I told him no thanks. And then about an hour later, I was walking my dog and I see this kid sitting on a power box, you know, electrical box, with sitting there when the cops were surrounding him. And I thought, no, I don't think this kid, he didn't seem like he was up to anything. Turned out he found a dead body on the porch.
Oh my gosh.
My neighbor had died. And
yay,
he found this
Vegas
dead body. He found the, and here's the best part. He found this body on the porch in Vegas, and the guy had been out there in the sun, in the heat for hours.
Oh gosh.
I wonder if the poor kid is going to ever be selling solar panels.
That's traumatizing.
It is traumatizing. And I saw him a few days later, and he, very sweet kid. And I said, I'm so sorry about what you went through, bud. You know, just a sweet kid, too.
Was he doing okay?
But he was. He was shook up. No one expects to see that, you know. But he was, you know, it was, but that's the danger of going door to door. You never know what you're going to run into.
You don't. And I'm sure they deal with all kinds of stuff. And so, and that was what I told the salesman. I said, look, I'm not faulting you because you're just doing your job, but you have to, when I'm telling you no, I'm not interested. And he's like, well, if you sign with me, it's because we're going to lock in your rate. And I'm like, sir, if AT&T wants my business bad enough, they will lock in that rate whether I sign up through you or I sign up through somebody
That's
on the
right.
phone. They don't care. They don't care if I'm hanging upside down like a dang bat if I sign up with them. They just want my business. Now, Debbie is saying on Facebook, don't answer the door. Well, I've tried that approach and it doesn't work. And that's when they keep every 2 hours knocking and ringing your doorbell, because they're just wanting to check off saying we've talked to them. They're not interested. Clearly, they're not communicating with one another. And they're just hoping that between Wednesday and Thursday of a particular week that you've changed your mind somehow and that a different salesperson will be able to close the deal for you.
Maybe put a sign on your door that says, attention, AT&T, not interested yesterday and today and tomorrow.
Forever. Leave us
not
alone. That's Jody saying, do like a Home Alone style setup. That's what I need to do. That's the next step.
Yeah.
I
just can't believe they're so persistent. I mean, you'd think they'd just keep moving.
I know. And it's not just AT&T. I know this has happened before with other companies, but my gosh, I mean, shouldn't there at least be some, like, there's a do not call list. I don't know if salespeople actually abide by that, but there technically is supposed to be some sort of a list that you can put your number on where it's like, okay, hey, I'm not interested in these sales pitch calls. Why isn't there that for a company like AT&T or any company where you can put your name, your address on a list saying, hey, do not come buy this home. They've already told us 12 times they're not interested. They're not going to change their mind.
Yeah, I've never put my name on a do not call list because I think I just feel like there'd be another list with my name on it.
Well, that's probably true. I mean, but do you get them as bad? Do you get as many calls as you used to when you actually had the phones that were attached to the walls and you're trying to sit down and have dinner with your family?
Well, the difference is with the cell phone, obviously, you can see the number. And if it's not a contact, I just don't take the call.
True.
That's the difference, you know, whereas back in the day, I'm surprised you remember the wall phone. Back in the day, when you pick up the wall phone, you don't know who's calling. You can't see ahead of time.
True.
So that was a different situation.
Caller ID was a game changer. I remember that. But, well, you're right. Nowadays, you can do that. You can block numbers. But a lot of them are trying to get you through emails, and I'll get automated text messages. They just come at you from every angle trying to get you to respond and hope that you're going to somehow change your mind, that you're interested in whatever gimmicky thing that they're trying to sell you on.
Absolutely. One of the people on Facebook says, I've had them walk into my garage while I'm doing a project, which is supposed to, that's what happened with your husband, right?
Yes.
They walked into the garage.
He was in the garage. I would just start, you know what he needs to do? Just hit the button and just start closing the garage on him.
No kidding.
Because then it becomes trespassing.
Woman, yeah, and if you're a woman, though, and you're in the garage and somebody walks up behind you, I mean, that is so out of line.
That's
for a
scary.
Man or a woman, but especially a woman. Yeah, you don't know who they are.
Right. And I can, trust me, I can handle these types of people. And it's funny because my husband was just going to let the door, like, he's like, we'll just leave it. I'm like, no, I'm talking to this person. I'm telling them to stop talking to us. Stop knocking on our door. And, you know, I'm just politely going back and forth with this guy. I wasn't mean, but I was letting him know, like, we're not interested, we're not interested, we're not interested. And my husband comes down, like, eventually and, you know, tries to end the conversation with us because this guy just wouldn't take no for an answer. So
that's interesting. Well, plus, you don't want to, I don't want to take these people on because they might recognize you and now they know where you live. And that's another scary thing.
Yeah. I used to think about that more in TV. I don't even think about that now for whatever reason. Working in radio, it just doesn't cross my mind. But
you do go, hello, I'm Fred.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Just like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
Please just stop, AT&T people.
Be on notice. Stop. You have no idea. Screwing up our nap when we do mornings, screwing up the nap is the worst thing you can do to us. And the last thing we're going to do is buy anything you're selling when you wake us up from our nap.
Right. And of all the things in my life that I have going on right now, AT&T fiber, you're at like a -5 trillion on the eye care list. So just for all of you wondering, do not care about AT&T fiber.
That's funny. Well, she's got it off her chest.
I got that off my chest. Thank you everyone for listening. You didn't really have a choice, I guess. You could have changed the
station. How about Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Kim. That's Kim on a whim. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Cox. I'm Heidi Harrison for Mark Cox, hanging with some of my very, very favorite people in the radio business this morning. Here with you, of course, until 9 a.m. Hey, how about that astronaut thing? I got to tell you guys, I'm not really a NASA person per se. I'm just not that somebody's that fascinated by space things. But this is amazing, you know, that they had to get up there and be rescued by SpaceX. I just love this. Did you guys watch any of this? Did you watch the launch? And then when they showed up at the space station, how well they were greeted and how amazing this whole situation has been. Have you guys
watched
this?
And they pranked them.
Yeah, with the alien or something?
Oh, that was funny. Yeah, you know, apparently I was reading something about that. And apparently what they do is every Halloween or something, they'll have some kind of costumes or something. So when they were all coming onto the space station, the four astronauts, one of them was wearing one of those masks. Was it 28 hours up?
Well, I know it wasn't 17 hours back, so they'll be here on, was it 5 p.m. Central Time tonight?
But what's funny to me, 28 hours up and 17 back, I mean, that's a good tailwind, right?
Well, that's the best part of the flights.
It's
like
gravity,
there back. Yeah.
I guess so. I don't understand any of this. I don't claim to, guys. I don't. But this should be a top story. And of course, it's not because, you know, Elon Musk is involved in this.
Yeah. No, that's so true. It's funny. There's a post on the Babylon Bee that says federal judge orders astronauts be returned to space station. The federal judge at this point would do that. If Trump or Elon Musk, if either of them have anything to do with it, they're going to, some crazy Biden or Obama appointed judge would be like, you know what? Actually, you did not go about this the right way. They have got to go back to space.
Right. I will get to the thing with the illegals being sent and the judge trying to demand that the plane be returned. That was funny. We'll get to that later on in the Mark Cox show. But yeah, I think this is great. So I guess they took off this morning. And as you mentioned, this afternoon, I guess 17 hours. So it was 1 o'clock in the morning Eastern time that they left. But can you imagine? And they were, these people were up there. I mean, I realized they had food, water, and all that. I get it. But they were supposed to be up there for what, a week initially, two of them?
I can't remember, but it's been 9 months. I mean, last June is when they went. That's almost a whole year away from their family. And I understand that astronauts have done that before, but when you're not anticipating that, every day would feel really exhausting when you're just counting down until you get to come back to Earth.
Yeah, I can't imagine. So just to refresh everybody's memory, because like I said, I'm not an expert on NASA. It's really not that interesting to me most of the time, but I'm fascinated by this because I love American innovation. And I love the fact that Elon Musk has done, you know, a rocket that goes back and sits back on the launch pad.
That was cool.
I mean, it's very cool. So what happened was these people, Williams and Wilmore, are the ones that were rescued, okay, as you probably know. They were the first crew to fly on board Boeing's Starliner spacecraft, but things did not go well when five of the spacecraft's thrusters failed on the way up there, okay? Now, that's not something that happens with Elon Musk, but it happened with them. And Starliner had to return home empty. I mean, you know, can you imagine being way out there and then seeing that thing leave without you and going, wait.
Oh, my gosh. Come back.
Oh, God. I mean,
and they said
they would have
made it, but they were just being precautious.
And we don't even know if they would have made it. I mean, obviously, they possibly would have. We don't know.
Well, with all the stuff going on with airplanes, I guess I wouldn't want to risk it with a rocket.
I just saw another one the other day that, but what, do you see that one?
That caught fire?
Somebody. No, this one, that was 2 days ago or something. Then something bumped a tail on something else.
Oh, my gosh. What's going on?
The wing caught somebody. I don't know what's going on.
But don't you remember when the door flew off of the plane mid-flight? It seemed like all of the issues were happening right after the other, after that particular incident. So, again, like, does this stuff happen more than we realize and it's just not reported on and now they're reporting on it because there's a level of public interest? Or are these things truly happening more often? That's what I wonder.
Good question. I think also when that plane with this is what, a couple of years ago, the door actually blew off. There was a teenage boy on the plane. You may remember this part of the story, who literally had his shirt sucked off of him, right off of his body. And he was smart enough. The reason he didn't get sucked out of the plane is because he had his seatbelt on. And I know that I'm guilty. You know, I've taken that seatbelt off because it's uncomfortable. And when you're just flying, and of course, turbulence can come out of nowhere and think, usually they'll warn you, but sometimes things happen. And so that's a reminder to me and everybody, when you're on the plane, you're sitting down, you ought to have your seatbelt on. This kid's alive because he had his seatbelt on.
Yeah, good point. I forgot about that. It's reminding me of what happened.
Remember that?
How scary is that? I've had some crazy plane instances where they drop the plane. I mean, it must have been 10,000 feet. People were screaming. I remember drinks were flying up to the ceiling of the plane and sticking. And we're all like preparing to, this is it. We're going down. And then all of a sudden they level out and the pilot comes on and he's like, oh, I'm sorry. We had some air traffic. I'm like, okay, so that's another way of saying we came very close to hitting another plane and we had to make a sudden movement to avoid slamming into another aircraft. But I was scarred by that particular flight.
Yeah, I wonder what goes through your mind other than your drink.
Goodbye,
like
Lord, please protect me.
Yeah. Wow. Those life moments that make you reevaluate everything. I'm Heidi Harris in for Mark Cox.
Get more at 971talk.com.